thanks for tuning in to Sisters. We're your hosts, being Z, Bree,
hey,
Nicole.
What's going on?
And Zahira, that's me. On Sisters Here, we discuss lifestyle love with lots of laughs. If you're new to listening to us, welcome. And welcome back to our listeners. It's been a while since we've been on this mic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is exciting. I don't know. Like, it feels like kind of weird, kind of exciting. Like,
it's been such a long time.
I know. But, you know, this is kind of therapy right now, so I like it. We get to sit here and talk about what's going on, whether they want to hear it or not.
Very true.
But yeah, so we've been busy, right? We have a lot going on. Our hands are full right now with Create, Believe, Achieve. Y'all, we hosted an event.
Yeah.
January 9th, 2022. We have two sessions, right? One is 1 to 3:30.
Yeah. Next one, 4 to 6:30.
Yes. Yeah. So we're asking for you guys to come out and join us because we care about that. Like, you know, it's important to start your year off right. Not just your year, your day, your week, your everything. You know, it's interesting to kind of see our own personal journeys and how we've gotten to where we are. And, you know, not an arrival necessarily, but, you know, we have our own individual stories and it's good to get together with other people, diverse people, people from all over that we may not have even met before, and hear what's going on, because I feel like it gives you perspective. Sometimes, even when we're on this mic, I feel like we're ministering sometimes to people we don't even know, because we get messages and things like that, like, oh, you know, thank you for being honest about that, or, you know, glad to see that I'm not the only one who has, like, relationship problems, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it kind of, you know, I would say, like, this platform, like us doing this, is like a motivator for me. So, like, what would you guys say is your, like, motivation? Like, why do you think we do what we do here?
Well, I think it's twofold for me. You know, and I'll take it professionally and personally. I feel like vision boarding or affirming, manifesting, all of those things is really important to me. I do believe when you write things down and when you look at it, you know, on a daily basis or however, and, you know, it really does come into fruition. So I always make it a point to, even in the morning, like I have affirmations written on my bathroom mirror. I make sure to say it every day because I feel like the more that you say it, the more that you think it, you know, you believe it and then it comes true. But, you know, personally for me, what motivates me is, you know, my journey and things that I've went through. So, you know, now I want to use that pain as a purpose to motivate other people. So I feel like, you know, when you go through stuff in life, you know, your story is not your own anymore. You share it in hopes of inspiring and helping other people. So that's really what motivates me. You know, even if I can touch one person or if I can help someone see, like, listen, you're not alone. Everybody goes through things and you find out you have more in common with people than you know, you know, when you start to be authentic and transparent. And then, you know, just professionally, you know, just wanting to step out on my own and do something for myself. I think, like, you know, the more that I worked, you know, in a professional setting, the more that I realized that everything that I need was already within me. Like, so why do I continue to kind of, you know, help make other people rich, you know, when you can use your own gifts and your talents for yourself? So I think twofold.
You brushed over that. Wait a minute. You're not talking about the fact that you did a whole, like, some people might call it a blow up of your life, but I call it like a transformation of your life, like giving up your full-time gig, like without necessarily going to another 9-to-5, and you know, that entrepreneurial spirit, like you ain't just gonna brush by that. Like,
no, that's really true. And I have to be honest, and that was on my vision board. Like, guys, I just want to say 92% of my vision board has come true.
Oh yeah, because you went to an actual vision boarding event.
Yeah, except for the husband part. So I think at the event in January, my vision board just going to be about a husband. It's just going to have everything that I want in him on that vision board. Right, because I just feel like it. But yes, I did take a leap of faith, and it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life, because y'all know I'm very analytical. I'm a creature of habit. Like, I don't just do stuff that's out my norm. But I realized that it was never going to be the perfect opportunity to do it. I was like, oh, but this job has good health benefits. Oh, but this job gives me the flexibility to do what I need to do. But no, I just had to literally jump and not really have a game plan. Yeah. And what I learned most about myself is that I'll do whatever it takes to make things happen. Yeah. You know, y'all know I was working 6 jobs at one point.
Girl,
just trying to make
her
things
Jamaican
happen.
Name is Denise.
I double S Denise on the weekends. And even my car died. Y'all, I mean, like, everything that could have went wrong at that time, it just did. But I honestly believe, like, you know, when you believe in yourself, and as long as you bet on yourself, you can never go wrong. When you just focus on yourself and your talents.
Yeah, it all kind of was a perfect storm going on there. It was like nonstop trials and trials and trials. But like you see on the other end of it, it's worth it, because you wouldn't have gotten to the breakthrough. You wouldn't have gotten, like, you know, your supposedly, like, consulting gig. Right. They never had a remote worker, and now they've given you that opportunity because of you, you know, being entrusted with that kind of responsibility. So that's dope. Yeah. And Sabrina, you hosted a vision board party for us too, right?
I did a couple years ago, because I always like the whole manifestation of vision. But I did want to comment on something with you and the whole job thing. The only thing that you actually gonna regret is the thing you didn't do.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why that was so important. Like, even if she said, you know what, I'm about to go back. If she wanted to, I know you don't want to go back to your old job.
Yeah, that's never happening.
At least she did what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like, so she could never say, she not going to be 60. Like, I wonder what would have happened if I would have done that back then. She'll know what would have happened. And she'll be, you can taste it and not like it. I'm a big believer in that. Really, yeah.
If we you do it. You do that with real food, too.
Okay. No. They know I don't eat stuff I don't like.
Yeah, even I'm if
I
saying,
think I don't like no, it, I ain't doing it. You heard it, right? You heard it today, right? You can taste it as if you don't like it.
That's taste success.
I want that energy when we're actually trying new food.
Remember? You want this calamari?
No,
absolutely
I'm the same
not.
Way. Me and Bri are liking that scent.
I'm sorry.
Yes. No, you got me on that one. You got me. But
it's recorded, too. Yes. So I'm going to play it back.
No, for me, I believe everyone needs somebody, and everyone needs something. And at the same time, that can look different for everybody. I might be a 9-to-5 lover.
Right.
That don't mean if you came to me tomorrow and said, I hate 9-to-5, so I think I want to break out. I'll be like, is that what you want to do? As long as it sits well with your soul. That is my saying these days. That's not, as long as you're not, you know, trying to do nothing crazy, like jump off the roof. I'm not going to condone that. But listen.
That went far. That went far in the dark.
You're like, you went from success to suicide.
To jump, right? That was a lot.
Listen.
There is stuff in between that.
Yes. Cool. So vision boarding for me. So I love vision boarding. I love the process. I can't say that I'm a person that actually goes back and looks at my vision board 20 times. That's not me. Mm-hmm. This is not me. But vision boarding for me is still the process. Mm-hmm. I have time to sit down and say, oh, shoot, you know, I want this to happen. But the way my brain works, I'm never that follow-through type person. I'm like, oh, I have to make this happen. As long as it's in my head, as long as I take that time to get it in my head, then I'm good. Right. So that's why I like the whole vision boarding thing. It's fun. And you know what? Networking with other people.
Absolutely.
Because you know some stuff I don't know. You know some stuff I don't know. I'm sure I know something you don't know. Like, we all need to lean on each other. So we did a post on Instagram. The post, what did it say? It said that the conversation is different when you're around people that are healed.
Yeah, talking to women that were healed.
And that is very, very true, because they're thinking on a different level. That's true. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we got to make sure we make time for the people that are not here.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that is what networking is about. Mm-hmm. And that is what the power of vision boarding together is about. Because there's always something you're in constant process of healing through. And you're going to need some stuff that I got. Mm-hmm. You're going to need some words that I got. So I'm going to give them to you if I can. And I feel like that is what healing is about.
Right.
Like, you can't heal and just be all the way up here.
Right.
Because you got to mentor some of these other people.
Absolutely. Now, is that even really healing? Because if you could even it to yourself and you still aren't able to discuss what it is that you heal from, are you really healed?
You know? Yeah. I had a teacher that said a wound, it was about a wound and a scab. No, that's a different one. No, what she said was, you know you're over it when somebody can tell you your story, and the only thing you were worried about is, I didn't do that on that day. I did that on a Tuesday.
Right.
Like, you only picking little stuff. Yeah, I did all that bad stuff, but you got that detail wrong. Yeah. Like, listen, you can record that back all day. You can play it back all day. I did it. I got the book. You can talk about it because I'm here from it.
Literally got the book. If you haven't got it already, free out there.
I love it.
Bring by our very own Dr. Scott. Just a little
love
shameless
it,
plug
love
right
it.
There.
I like it. Thank you.
For you, girl.
But the wound and the scab thing, I always remember that too. She said, every wound gets a scab and every scab falls off.
Oh, so that's
why I remembered that. But that didn't really go with that.
It kind of is. It does, that's though. About healing as well.
Absolutely. Okay, okay.
That, like, you know, it turns into, it's a wound at first. It heals enough where it's a scab, and eventually it will go away.
Yes, yes.
Maybe not fully go away, but at least it won't cause you pain or discomfort. Right. Scabs are itchy. You know? Yeah. So it's kind of a reminder that you still have a wound.
Yeah.
So when you don't have that anymore, you know, I think that is a form of healing. That's true healing. But you might still have a scar, and I think that's the difference. Like, it's okay for us to be scarred. It's okay for us to be walking around with some things that, you know, we've gone through. But as long as it's not making us and it's not creating a space where we don't want to try things or venture out.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really proud of, like, the entrepreneurial spirit that's, like, going around here. You know, you stepping out into your own, you know, passion full time, and you know, even that journey of getting it to the place where you want it to be. Our production lead here at Brother with a Camera has now gone full time with his, you know, business. So, you know, you and your sister, you know, working for Ability Advocates, and, you know, her you know, vision, and being able to imagine that, being able to create a space for your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my brother owns a I'm just doing all these kind of plugs.
Listen,
all our businesses is. But, yeah, so my brother, I didn't even know he was a big deal. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, you think of, like, your sibling, it's just your sibling. But I heard him on NPR, like, talking about he has an architectural firm and all that kind of stuff. And he has three offices now. You know, he's in New York, Philly, New Jersey. And, but he... The bigger thing is he creates a space for our family. So, like, my niece works there. Yeah. You know, my nephews have gotten their internships there. He gives opportunities to other people. So, you know, I think people don't realize that your leap of faith, or you just believing that, you know, little mustard seed of faith or whatever. Oh, snap, I got it on my shirt today too, don't I? But just having that, you don't know how much you're going to sow and how much you're going to reap from that, because you have an idea to do this and you give this person the opportunity. Yeah. Like, you're a little, you may think it doesn't matter, but you may not just be keeping yourself from achieving something, but you might be keeping a bunch of other people from being able to achieve what they need.
Yeah.
So vision boarding is really, really effective. The first time I did it was the event that you had at your house. That was the first experience I had with it. And it does give you a chance to slow down. And I like the component you had of it, too, where we asked the follow-up questions. Like, okay, I want to save this amount of money. I want to do this. I want to do that. And though it's not something that necessarily... I used to actually keep that board in my bedroom. Okay. By, like, my mirror.
I remember.
So when I got up... You remember? when I got up, I would see it. Every day, like, okay, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. And it is true. Like, you do, you know, create, believe, achieve is for real. Like, you know, you have to start with a dream. Start with a vision. Like, you know, and there's nothing that's too big. If it don't scare you, it's not big enough. Like, you got to go harder. You got to go bigger. But, you know, some of the stuff that I had on mine was traveling. Like, I don't stay home now. You know what I mean? Like, I always want to see someplace beautiful or experience something that's different from my culture or whatever. You know, I think the only thing that I don't have on there is family as well. But, you know, that I believe also God time. Like, it doesn't mean that it's not going to manifest. I'm patient for that. But, you know, all of the other things, they line up. So that gives you kind of the faith and the belief that the rest will too. Like, you are not a passive person in your life. Like, you are an active participant. So if you are that active participant, that means that you are in control. And I think if more people think about that and own the fact that they're not just in the backseat of the car, but they're the driver, they can do more. Like, don't be so fearful. Like, that's kind of like people who attend it and stuff like that, I hope that they don't leave with any kind of fear that whatever it is that they want to achieve or do or whatever is impossible. Or
I agree.
But it's also hard, you know, especially, you know, when you're thinking of people who, you know, when you're the first in your family. So, you know, first generation college students or first, you know, generation to own a business, you know, sometimes fear does get in your head because it's a natural to think like, well, what if it's not going to be successful? Or, you know, what if I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z? So I think it's just, you know, and it's okay to have fear, right? Like you said, if it doesn't scare you, then your dream's not big enough. So I do think it's okay sometimes to have fear, but you got to push past the fear, right? You can't allow that to keep you, you know, from going after your dream. So, you know, I always, you know, want to tell people and, you know, and just let them know, like, if you're scared, even now, like, public speaking, it doesn't matter how good people say I'm at it, every time I'm, like, sweating out of, you know, it's just, like, I'm so nervous. And then, like, when it's done, It's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. So I feel like sometimes you have to have that fear. My mom always told me, like, Nicole, if you go up there looking cocky, that's when you mess up. Like, it's okay to just be like, you know, be humble, pray about it, and go do what you have to do. So I don't, it's like, it's just, it's really a fine balance. Like, I don't want people to let that fear keep you from doing what you have to do. But sometimes, listen,
it's,
you know,
a level, exactly. It's a level of it. Yeah. It's a level of fear you need to have.
I just, I just, I was thinking about something when I was going to talk about, like, what I wanted to put on my board and stuff like that. And I got to, like, the relationship aspect and everything like that. And it just made me, I started cracking up because I was thinking of, like, the whole, there was one time when I had, like, celebrities as, like, my, what I want to, like, arise to as far as, like, the whole Black Love movement and all that kind of stuff. And now I see they losing their mind. Like, this whole Will and Jada stuff going on and, like, so you have to be careful, too, about, like, what you aspire to because, you know, live your path. Right. Because a lot of people, you know, forever was like, oh, Will and Jada, Will and Jada, Will and Jada. They have this great love. They have this. But, like, the more it unravels and you see the bits and pieces and that, you know, it's like, do I? Like, so you got to run your own path a little bit, too. That's like, true. Because I could have very well had, you know, them on there or, you know, aspiring to be that. And it's okay to have, like, examples or whatever. But I think I've realized that those people are not my role models. Like, my role models are much closer to home. My role models are the people that mostly are in my life every day or people who are doing things and not necessarily in the limelight for it or getting the accolades and the awards that they should be getting. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I keep in the back of my mind, too, when I'm sitting there and trying to create, you know, not running anybody else's race but my own and realizing that everything that glitters ain't gold and I don't necessarily want to aspire to that whole, like, social media, IG, because like, then the next thing you know, they on there popping off how in love they are. Yeah. And then next thing they popping off. You know, like, who was this, the baby or whatever it is? Like,
First of all, if you don't live your own path, God going to sit you down and make you. Because that's the only choice, for real, for real. Like, you can say, I want to be like Will and Jada. You going to be like you and you. Like, that's it. Like, there's no way you can be like them. You're going to be sat down.
Yeah, so. And you shouldn't want to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, some people.
Because sometimes you see this level of whatever, you don't know what it took to get there. Like, you know how people be like, oh, I was married for 67 years. But damn, but grandma and grandpa hated each other. Like, a lot. A lot. And it was like a marriage of convenience survivalship. Like, so even that, like, I think that's the opportunity because it'll be like different age level of people because you think, oh, I want to love like this or I want to have a marriage that lasts this long. But people be forgetting, like, can I also have compatibility and, you know, when I'm cutting my people out my board, I got to know, like, these are the things that really are important to me and not necessarily, like, what it's supposed to be or whatever. Like, you know, I've learned even seeing relationships, I'll say that in my own family and close to me, like, how important it is to have compatible people and people who have things in common and, you know, how important faith, you know, comparisons are and making sure that you have kind of the same value and belief system and, you know, communication, you know, not just talking, but comprehending and listening and humbling yourself because that's hard sometimes to be like, yeah, I was wrong or you were wrong or whatever. And, you know, all those kind of things. So when I think about that, because I talk about the fact that that's kind of the thing on my board that hasn't come to fruition yet, like that's the kind of stuff as 30-something years old making this board in comparison to my 20-something-year-old self, it's just funny how those, like, things change and, you know, evolve.
But that also comes with growth and experience. Like, you know, 40-year-old me now, you know, visioning things that I want in life, it's totally, not to say it was silly before, but again, also it came with knowing myself,
that's
too.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now that I know who I am, now I know what I want and I know what I will accept and what I won't accept. So I really just feel like it goes with growth. And I do think visioning is something that you should do repeatedly, not just like one time. Because, you know, what you wanted 5 years ago, you may look now and be like, what?
Yeah, 10 years from now, you might be like, yeah, I don't know what I was talking about. I knew myself about it. I didn't want that.
Right. I was tripping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it coming fast and all kinds of stuff.
Things and sometimes you have to taste it. This is your way.
Exactly.
So,
remember that. Yeah.
That's not calamari, though. We're not tasting that.
No.
Yucky. No.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to experience different things, and sometimes you need that experience to propel you to the next level for the next experience.
And sometimes, even though it may not happen when you want it to happen, like, for example, I always wanted to be a lawyer since I was probably 8 years old, because I Claire Huxtable on the Cosby Show. I remember she just got this guy together. She was on like a morning show or something like that. And they were like trying to exclude her from the conversation. Mm-hmm. And she just like the epitome of like who I wanted to be. And she was a lawyer. And I was like, oh, I didn't know what a lawyer was, but I know I wanted to be Claire Huxtable. And she was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So ever since then, anybody asks me, what do you want to be when you grow up? A lawyer. Mm-hmm. So come fast forward now, I'm in school. And then along the way, I had some people who discouraged me from being a lawyer. Like, we had an attorney for an accident we were in, and she hated being an attorney. And she was like, no, it's the last thing you want to do. And so, you know, when you're a kid, people can so good and they can so bad. So they discouraged me. So I was like, well, dang, maybe I don't want to do this. I went to college, got a job in college, worked in politics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just never stopped being like a nagging feeling for me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that I really did want to do. And now, you know, going to law school is in my 30s instead, you know, ended up being able to realize that dream and seeing what that really is about. Mm-hmm. I realized being in it that 20-something year olds here wouldn't have been able to do it. Mm-hmm. So things are about timing because I might have done it then and failed. Whereas now I'm doing it, and because I'm a different person, it's going to be more successful for me. So, you know, even that makes a big difference. So timing is everything, and it may not happen right now, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
That's true.
That's very true.
How would you guys, if you could summarize or put into words, what do you think your purpose is? Like, we all have one. We have multiple purposes. But, like, what do you think you're, like, life's purpose is? Like, you're here because of what?
That's a deep question.
That was deep, right?
I would have to say, I literally, like I said, within the last 2 years, found my purpose. Like, yes, I grant right, I'm amazing at it. Yes, you know, I can do all these other things, but none of that makes me feel as fulfilled as it does, like, you know, motivational speaking and like just pouring into other people and just, you know, sharing, you know, my story. And I had to learn that. And as much as I tried to fight it, you know, because again, I'm so private, like I don't like large crowds, you know, everything that I hate doing is the thing that brings me like the most joy. So like, I believe that's my purpose, is just to motivate and inspire people and whatever that means. And I feel like the more that I'm on this journey of being more transparent and more authentic, the more that I'm like, yes, this is it. Like, it just brings me so much joy and like so much, you know, pleasure to just be, you know, and just hearing how after the fact that people are just like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm so inspired by this or by that. So that for me is it. Like, you know, even if, so I say all that to say that, yes, you know, although this consulting thing, you know, is the ones that keep the lights on, is really not my passion. So I have to find a way to make Finally Free to Be Me become, you know, what my other, you know, business is, because that's just where I, that's just my purpose.
Yeah, I don't think I have that whole deep, all them words and all that.
All the words.
I don't have the, yeah.
She made me smart.
I want to say
just
my
kick
passion.
Kick her purpose on like that. I don't have all those words.
She had a lot going on with her passion. My passion is one word. My passion is people. Mm. If you know me, you know I have a lot of genuine relationships. And if you know me also, you know I try to keep my relationships as genuine as possible.
She has 27 friends.
So
not that again.
I love talking to people. I love being around people. I love being able to learn stuff from people and have people learn stuff from me. That's why I do make it a priority to try to be there for everyone individually. I have learned that there is a level of balance I have to have with that. But if you also know me, you know that I know how to say no, and I'm just not coming. Mm-hmm. But you also know if you need me, I'm there. Right. Like, if you need me for something, I'm not going to let your birthday go. Like, I'm not going to do that type of stuff. So I think my passion is really people. I can't say it's a particular job, because even my jobs are dealing with people. So in support coordination, if my people are good, I'm good. If with my job for Avanzar, if my schools are good, I'm good. If people in the social justice world, if we are preaching something that's helping somebody, I'm good. And yeah, that's really just the extent of it. So I'm just gonna say people, period. Because that's all I got.
Okay,
period, poop.
Yeah. Okay, so mine was birth. I realized my passion, and my passion is being an advocate for resources. Mm-hmm. Like, I want people to have equity in life. I want you to know, like, and I realized that about myself when I was working for the state legislature, because I was a caseworker at one point. Mm-hmm. And a caseworker, what you do is, you know, you assist constituents or people in the neighborhoods, residents, whatever, with attaining whatever benefits they need or resources they need. So, like, mm-hmm. veterans, you know, making sure they get their veteran services, mm-hmm. people who need any kind of social service needs, like SNAP, mm-hmm. you know, food stamps, et cetera, just making sure that we're helping them. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when my coworker went on vacation. I wasn't a caseworker anymore, mm-hmm. and I was a legislative aide, so I was in policy more. Mm-hmm. But I was the only one in the office, and it was right before Christmas, and I got a phone call. And apparently, like, a caseworker was working with this family, but mm-hmm. it wasn't, you know, whatever happened, didn't go through. And so this woman calls me, and she's, like, you know, upset because she's not getting her benefits before mm-hmm. Christmas, which is a big, I feel like anybody Absolutely. Would be upset naturally. Mm-hmm. So I understood that. But in the background, you can hear a man saying, I bet you if I was a N-word or a S-word, the derogatory term for Hispanics, mm-hmm. I would have gotten my stuff. So that was like, what do I do here? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, that's a right. challenge, because I am a black woman on the mm-hmm. end line of the phone. I'm hearing somebody using the N-word and then also asking for help at the same time. So what do you do? And that broke me a little bit that day, because one, I was like, how do I help this woman? She has kids. You know, they don't have any food. They don't have any gifts for Christmas. And I was like, miss, let me just take a second. I'm going to see what I can do for you, and I'll call you back. So I told her I would call her back, and I started crying, because I was like, really, like, what am I going to do for this person? First of all, like, I can't say what I want to say to them. So when I cry, sometimes it's not sad. It's like, I'm crying because I'm so angry that I don't have another outlet. So it's like, angry is here. So this time it was a combination of both. I was sad and I was angry. So in me, I was like, there's no way I'm going to let kids not have toys on Christmas and things like that. So I started making phone calls, and I started calling police departments, like, hey, I know you guys do Toys for Tots. Do you have any toys left? Whatever. People did. They had toys left. I called a friend of mine who was a commissioner at the time, and I was like, look, do you think you could get anybody to, like, get a gift card or something? Whatever. So they started scrambling. They started moving. And next thing you know, the woman called me back, who originally called me. She's like, in tears. And she's like, a police officer just came here, and they brought all these toys, and they gave me $500 gift card and all of this stuff. And she mm-hmm. was just like, thank you so much. And the guy came on the phone and was like, I'm really sorry. You know, I didn't mean what I was saying, but I was just so angry and so upset. And I was like, I understand, sir. Like, I get it. I said, but next time, you just never know who's on the other line of the phone for you too. So just keep that in mind, you know, going forward or whatever. And I don't remember, like, the full words of what I said, but mm-hmm. at the end of it, it got resolved. And that day is when I realized, like, I want to be an advocate regardless, even if there's boundaries, even if people don't make it easy for me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bled into me wanting to go to law school, because I want particularly black and brown people not to be taken advantage of by the justice system, and not even just the justice system, but like landlord-tenant issues, like people getting put out of their houses. Mm-hmm. Education inequality, you know, all of these mm. things, because when people have resources, it opens up a floodgate of opportunity mm. for people. So that's kind of my passion. And I realized that it was birthed in me because of the fact that I was bullied. And I realized that, like, as a little kid being bullied, I always cared about the underdog. I always cared about the person who didn't have, or the person who was, like, being teased or whatever. And I started being able to advocate for myself and making sure that that wasn't something that continued. And I realized that I wanted to do that for other people. I wanted people to always know they had somebody in their corner or had someone to help. And, you know, it kind of is a double-edged sword, because it's very hard for me to say no in life. Like, I have the opposite problem of you. Mm-hmm. I can't say no, because I just always feel like if I say no to that person, what if that no led to them not getting whatever it is they needed, or leads to something tragic in their life? And it's something that I'm, like, working through to kind of find a balance. But I realized that my purpose was kind of birthed out of my own, like, misfortunate things or things that have happened in my life. And it's like, that's what I want to do in life. I always want to advocate and I always want to help people.
Yeah. So yeah. Always look at the flip side of the advocacy though. Because there's people who want you to advocate for them who don't always tell the whole story. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have learned that too.
Oh yeah, people take advantage of the system.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not even talking just system wise. I'm just, yeah. Some people just don't. Some people cookie. I'm sorry.
I know some real cookie people. It's people who go to the hospital.
I've been on the phone with people all day. I mean, I told y'all I love people, but I've been on the phone like,
I think when you get into
like
that,
what is okay.
I think with experience you start being able to discern like, okay, this person is just a little touched. You know, like yeah, people call talking about they want to kill you or eat your eyeballs, literally. Somebody told me they wanted to eat my eyeballs.
Somebody told me
they did. We had to call the state police. Because it wasn't me particularly. They was just like sending like threats to us via email. So you know, you have all kind of people, but at the same time, like I still feel like those kind of people are still smaller in comparison. Mm-hmm. Their numbers are smaller. Well, everybody crazy, but
I didn't realize smaller. How many people was a little touched. I started working with individual people. I'm like, oh, people was right. There's really some kooky people out here.
Every tree got a few nuts.
I'm like, no. I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, that's fair. That's amazing. That's good.
I feel like I should be crapping all over our purpose all the time. Like, I'm still you got purpose. Too many words.
Shit on my mine purpose all day. I'm good on it. I'm good.
We stick to you and your people, period. Okay.
People, period. Listen, even though they be kooky. I'm
oh man, no, but I think it's definitely something that you have to have a good circle of people too. Because you, when if we are going to live in our purpose and we're going to manifest these things or whatever, because mm-hmm. you know what's that the it's like. Of Jebel or whatever, like praying for more abundance. But then the flip side is when you get that abundance, you got to figure out what to do with it and how to handle it and like all that kind of stuff. So as much as we want to grow and do all those things, we got to prepare ourselves for what comes with it, because that means less time. There was something a presenter was like, every time you say yes, you're taking away from your time. Like you're subtracting, because a no means you don't have to commit yourself to that. But a yes means you've just subtracted for your time.
Oh, that is
so. Always says whenever you're making those sort of like, you know, withdrawals from your time bank, just make sure it's something that's worth it, because
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, when that puts in perspective, you only got so many, we're only going to be here so long and the day is only so long. So that's something to think about while we're living our purposes.
I know that's right.
But yeah, so I mean, I feel like this is gonna be a great time together. You know, anytime there's a little mimosas and wine and dreams
and dreams mixed together. I think it'll be a good idea.
Great. So everybody, get your tickets January 9th. It's on Eventbrite. If you go to any of our pages, you can purchase tickets there. Our Instagram page is at BNZ Sisters with 3 S's, because we are smart, sassy, and sophisticated. And then, you know, the Eventbrite link is there. Tickets are $25, and it includes all of your materials, refreshments, drinks, everything. It also includes the opportunity to network, which is priceless. So, you know, being able to meet people, there's going to be some business owners there from different sectors, because we want people to learn about things like financial literacy and, you know, how to own property. So we have, you know, people from real estate industry. So just different things. It's going to be a couple little raffles, giveaways. And, you know, we just hope that people leave fuller than when they came. So, yeah, we missed y'all.
Yes, we did.
We missed y'all. It's good to be behind the mic again. And we're humbled by the experience. And we thank y'all for listening. It's not something that you have to do. We just appreciate you. We appreciate our production, our one-man production team, at Brother with the Camera. And we appreciate you listening. We just ask that you like, comment, subscribe, follow our page so that you know when our new episodes come up. And lastly, too, you know, something that we've always done is supporting small-owned and black-owned businesses. So if you have a business concept or you have something that you want some sponsorship for or just a good shout-out, let us know. Hit our Gmail or our Instagram, and our email address is bnzsisters@gmail.com. So thank you so much for listening. Any closing thoughts, y'all? We good? We'll see y'all on January 9th.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
Thanksgiving.
it's almost here. We're thankful for that. How about that?
I have to cook. We cooking, right? You cooking?
Yeah, I'm cooking. Okay.
Well, have a happy, safe Thanksgiving, and we'll see y'all again soon. Thank you so much for listening.